Waiting for your sign? Here it is. Shop Labor Day appliance deals at Lowe's before they're gone. Get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, get free delivery, haul away, installation and parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan on purchases of $999 or more. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/16 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherGazette.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to Luke. We made it to game week as your Golden Gophers on Thursday night take on everyone's favorite Ohio Valley team of the FCS and the Eastern Illinois Panthers who come to town. But ladies and gentlemen, you handsome and beautiful people, we have made it to Gopher game week, Mr. Buer.
It's a lovely time of year. Mm-hmm. There was college football on this weekend, Ryan, and that was also fun. It was fun to finally see, you know, the tens of people showing up at LA Coliseum.
Yeah. I'm glad we both made the same joke, because if you haven't seen the visuals yet, I understand that potentially the attendance for Thursday night for the Gophers versus an FCS team isn't projected to be, you know, more than, may say, 40-something thousand. But that would be probably, what would you say, 5 times more than the people who showed up to the USC San Jose State game?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think the visual that got me was, like, you couldn't see the stadium at all. And then they're marching in, you know, to the fanfare. And then you're like, that is just a lot of empty seats.
That is a lot of empty seats. But yeah, welcome to week 0/week 1, which welcome to also college football changes, ladies and gentlemen, which, speaking of, Luke, before we get to the thing that I think at least 7 tweets I saw about it, the lovely and fine folks of GopherGazette.com, which I'll remind you one last time, 60% off an annual subscription through the opener. We've been very successful in this sale. You're not the only one to join. If you are passionate, just like we are on this podcast, we would love to have you over at Gopher Gazette. No promo code needed. 60% off an annual subscription. Is one, what was your favorite? Week 0 is going to be now mandated. And two, also, before we even get to the injury report, how do you feel about college football OTAs? Because that is going to be coming now in 2027 as well.
Yeah, my first question is this different than spring ball? Like, will spring ball still be a thing, or are we phasing out spring ball?
Spring ball will still be a thing, but it can now be spread across 2 different practice periods. You can have over 7 weeks. So if you wanted to start spring ball in mid-April, or say somewhere around there, mid late April, but then you also wanted to include your summer enrollees right after they get on campus for, say, 2 weeks. So say you go for 4 or 5 weeks in April and May, and then once your summer enrollees get on campus in June, you can go for then another 2 or 3 weeks. You can have, I believe the way it was explained to me, the way you can cut it up is either 3 and 4, 2 and 5, one of those types of things. So 3 weeks here, 4 weeks there, 2 weeks here, 5 weeks there. So I would imagine, and I asked PJ Fleck about this at Big Ten Media Days, I do think that they're ultimately going to have some of these OTAs in June, which I don't know what that means for media coverage of things like that, but that's how I would roll with it, is why don't you at least have 2 weeks in June, which hopefully cuts down on the amount of drinking through a fire hose to an extent that your guys who ultimately come in June. So I'm thinking of the guys for this year, such as Roman Voss, Ryan Estrada, Quade Hendricks, among others, that maybe it just slows it down a titch a little bit more come August. But OTAs are now here. There still will be spring ball, but it's going to look a little bit different next year. And then also week zero, they're just moving up the entire college football season because it now has to end by that Saturday after Thanksgiving. So how do you feel about the potential of a Gopher football game almost ahead of the state fair at this point?
Yeah, that's, man.
Isn't it weird?
It's weird because we become so accustomed to this Thursday game that happens during the state fair week, usually the last state fair week that precedes Labor Day. It is going to feel weird, but let's be honest, a Black Friday game against Wisconsin was also weird.
It's going to be, especially a night game this year.
Oh, that part too, yeah.
I mean, we've seen those, so they're getting a little bit more familiar. Now, the thing that we have to end with here before we get into Eastern Illinois is, ladies and gentlemen, let me clear my throat. Let me look directly into the eyes of you. Let me look into the soul. Philip John Fleck is going to have a multi-day injury report starting here in about a month, which I don't know how he's going to feel about. I will certainly ask him about how does he feel about it. But for those of you who have not seen the news since we last recorded, the Big Ten is now mandating for all Big Ten versus Big Ten games. So this is not going to apply to Eastern Illinois, Mississippi State, or Akron, but come conference games, Minnesota is going to be required to, as every other Big Ten team will in the same instance, have a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday injury report, which welcome to betting, making it to the college football scene in a high, high manner. But how do you think PJ Fleck is going to treat this injury report? Because I know I have two theories, but what's your first theory about how does PJ handle this?
I think there could be some incredibly good games that are played.
You think?
I'm more curious, does this make content creation easier or harder for you? You could have an article that was, here's my depth chart, and now here's the depth chart.
Sure.
Or not depth chart, that's the wrong thing. Availability report. And then you can infer from there.
I have two theories about this. Is he's either going to list every single player who goes to see a trainer on Wednesday and Thursday, which that is going to be a very long list. That's going to be like 20-something guys, and he's going to put 20-something guys on the availability report just to play mind games, or he's going to list two players throughout the given week, and then they're all going to be questionable up until game time. I have no idea which way he'll go. We have not had this news long enough to where he's been on the record to be asked about it. But just know that by the time we start talking about the Washington Huskies or Michigan Wolverines, Purdue, we will have, by the time we record our preview episodes like this one, we will have likely one availability report to go through for whatever last week's injuries were. So welcome to, I mean, how do you feel about it? Because this has to be solely about betting at this point. Like, they're getting on the NFL schedule. The NFL mandates stuff like this because of the amount of money that Vegas and people bet on these games. But how do you feel about the reality becoming the reality here?
Does the Big Ten actually have any betting partnerships? Like,
I don't believe so. Like, I don't believe like this is like the Field of Dreams game where on both foul poles there was two different betting establishments there, which is very funny with the whole Black Sox thing in hindsight.
But it's
the reality of the situation now. I mean, you can run from it, you can do whatever, but I do think that's why the number one reason why this was made. Now, there was probably a multitude of different reasons that they will cite, but I do believe this was at the top of the list.
Generally, I think we have somewhat of a betting problem for some of the youths, right? I don't have youths that actively are betting.
Hey, but call them what they are. They're young whippersnappers, okay?
Young whippersnappers. Mm-hmm. But I talk to many people that I'm often surprised at how often some of these young people are betting, and more like not on like games, but on like really weird things on in predictive markets, right? Say
Drake Lindsay's over under on passing yards that day, or Darius Taylor's rushing touchdown prop.
Yeah. Or if it's going to rain on game day, or, you know,
very interesting, I don't know, isn't it?
It's an interesting time to be alive, without question. And, you know, not to prescribe what should be done, but I don't think that's probably a wise investment strategy for some of these whippersnappers that you refer to.
It's just certainly a different change with how easily accessible it is on our phones now, especially because we haven't always had that here in the state of Minnesota. And I know other states have it easier than what we do here, but with the changes, trust me, I get what you're saying. But just know that we will have some availability reports to talk about on Wednesdays by the end of September here.
Boy, I can't imagine how excited you are. I can actually just see it radiating. Well,
that's the funny part is the amount of people that have been like, I have to be just to the moon. I'm like, yeah, but also I just want to see how he treats it, because if we've learned anything, refuses to do depth charts because they don't want to anger anybody or their parents or their loved ones or their guardians or whoever. Okay. But how does that then come into the availability report here? Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
Yeah. Very good. While we're at it, since we don't have a depth chart, any injuries that we should know about going into this game? Obviously, the goal of this game is to win, but the second highest goal is to come out healthy.
Yeah, that's where there aren't a ton of injuries that we know about. Again, the last time I have seen the Gopher football team has been weeks ago now because of design. But the two I'm watching most closely right now are going to be Bennett Warren, who I anticipate, if healthy, getting some snaps at right tackle for this game. And it's also going to be defensive tackle Jalen Hicks, who has missed most of training camp with some sort of soft tissue leg injury. I am much more optimistic on Bennett Warren playing in this game than I am Jalen Hicks, which is unfortunate because we need to find out a lot more about the defensive tackles before we get into Mississippi State. And if he's not available to play, you're not really finding out a ton for a guy who hasn't played a lot of snaps in his career yet. So we will see where he's at. You've also got Jackson Howard, who I believe has some sort of broken bone in his wrist and is going to be playing with a club for most of the season, the way I understand it, the way it was put to me. So that's also a kind of a little fascinating detail within the Jackson Howard at 5 technique this year, not rush in, 5 technique. Versus Adam Kasai, who's the Clemson transfer. Is Jackson Howard with one hand better than Adam Kasai with two? Something we're going to find out. But Bennett Warren missed a couple of weeks, the Tennessee transfer at right tackle, with a hyperextended knee of some kind. But he should be ready to go, and that means you're going to start to see, as I believe, rotations at right tackle, right guard. But those are essentially the injuries I'm most worried about right now. Darius Taylor is healthy. Darius Taylor, under no circumstances, should get more than 20 touches in this game. But, I mean, you got some things to watch on at least the Minnesota side. Eastern Illinois, I have no idea. I watched that game, by the way. I am going to tell you right now, Luke, that was the worst TV production of a game I have watched in modern football history. Like, I'm not joking when I say Aggie Vision looks like NBC compared to the ESPN Plus between Murray State and Eastern Illinois, where they never had a down and distance at any point during the game. They had Eastern Illinois with a 1-3 record as like a graphic there next to them, which they haven't played a game yet. The camera was, I felt like I texted this to Daniel House. I go, I felt like I was watching a barren Wisconsin football game where the JV player couldn't figure out how to actually get correct camera angles. Or the best part was you couldn't see touchdowns because where they were situated at Murray State, they swung it towards the 10-yard lines. It was just the end of the building. So you couldn't see touchdowns. It was among the most insane things I've watched. Plus, for those of you who are also sickos with me watching it, I know two places in Murray, Kentucky now where I can get a steak and also where I can go get a drink because they played the same commercials during every single break. But my goodness, Eastern Illinois ended up beating Murray State 28-14, but that was a football game that was not for the weak-hearted.
Yeah, and you wonder why I think that the streaming argument is going to actually continue to raise like the TV market. I think that we've certainly hit some sort of plateau. That is just one of many examples. But I will say, better than BTN Plus or worse?
I just muted the announcers after like the first 15 minutes because I didn't even know what they were. It was such an odd production. Like, I understand it's week zero for everybody, camera crew, players, coaches, announcers. Yeah. So we're all going to be shaking off a little rust here. But it was like the best camera angles they had all night was of the Murray State mascot, which was a like some type of thoroughbred horse being run around the track. They had like 14 different angles of them perfectly. But if you try to see where the ball goes 10 yards down the field, they couldn't find it. It was just like, what are our priorities for this game, Luke? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm already worked up, and we're talking about Eastern Illinois football at this point.
All right, so let's get into this game. We don't have any stats for this season, and you know, going back to look at previous stats, I don't know how telling they're going to be with all the changes that often happen. But Ryan, I'm curious to get your thoughts on when the Gophers are on offense, what we think they're going to try and do. We talked about this before, even just in our season preview where we picked the game by game. Never before has the Power 2 separated itself from an FCS opponent like this before. This is just a sign of the times. And, you know, like I said earlier in the episode, staying healthy is probably the most important thing for the Gophers in general. But yeah, what do you expect to see from the offense? And I imagine some people are going to be like, is Drake Lindsey going to start? Is he going to sit at all? Is there going to be any punishment, you know, et cetera, et cetera?
I got to give credit where credit's due. And I believe Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press, dear friend of the program, has reported, and I've heard the same, that Drake Lindsey is not going to be missing any snaps against Eastern Illinois. All of the punishment from the underage drinking incident in Fayetteville, Arkansas, / fake ID has been handled internally, and he is not going to miss any time, which I agree with that. Now, whether you do or not, that's up to you and your own moral compass. But what I want to see from the Gopher offense in this game is something we rarely saw at any point last fall, which was starting fast, where we talk about an offense that had its issues, which they certainly did. Do you know how many times in their 13 games last year that Minnesota scored a touchdown on their opening drive?
Oh, man. I have no idea, but I will guess two.
One. Ooh. They scored a touchdown on their opening script once, and that was against Northwestern State. So that was the FCS team from last year. You need to do it at least against the FCS team this year, if we're going to believe in, if you've ever been to a Gopher football practice, you've heard PJ Fleck say this 1,000 times, start fast, accelerate in the middle, and finish strong. The offense refused to at any point last year start fast because it wasn't even the opening script. Do you want to guess how many times they didn't even score a point in the first quarter last year in 13 games?
I'll guess 4 games. They did
10 times.
Wow.
10 times. I mean, this was not a fast starting offense bit. So that is among the things I want to see is, can they just come out? I don't think they're going to be doing anything creative, especially with Mississippi State right around the corner. They're going to be try to be as vanilla as they possibly can. But just because you're being vanilla doesn't mean you can't execute. Like, you should be able to overwhelm an Ohio Valley opponent up front. It's going to be a big start for my offensive line that I've already put some takes out into the ether about. But they need to start fast up, and that starts up front to me. Now, I don't know how much we're going to see Drake Lindsey throw the football? Because last year against Northwestern State, he threw the ball 9 times. Nine. That's a niner for those of you in the Tommy Boy references. But we also saw 2 years before when Rhode Island came to town, Max Brosmer threw it, or I think he dropped back at least. He dropped back to pass 40 times. So you've got two different ends of the spectrum here. I think Drake Lindsey ultimately probably throws 13, 14 passes. But if this game gets out of hand, he obviously won't. So I think that's the thing for me is I just want to see the offense start fast. It's going to be jitters for everyone. I think that's the biggest thing we've learned that I remind myself of every single week zero is everybody has jitters. Everybody's going through the same thing you are, that you are not having a unique experience at any point in your life. I've just learned that as a human being. But everybody's got jitters. Everybody's shaking off the rust. And I don't expect it to always look pretty in the first game, especially against an FCS opponent. But it is going to be one where I just want to see the offense figure it out in the first half when you have the starters in.
All right. Let's talk quickly about when the Gophers are on defense. As you referred to, this Eastern Illinois team played Murray State already, and they ended up winning 28-14. We buried that. But maybe the more important thing is that Eastern Illinois was able to score 28 points, and they scored 14 of them in the second half, touchdown in each quarter, 3 and 4. So what do you expect from what you saw from that, from the Eastern Illinois offense? What will the Gopher defense really have to do to stop them? A team that currently, Ryan, is averaging 28 points per game.
The more important thing, and I think this is at least an interesting aspect of the game to watch, is Eastern Illinois ran for 267 yards against Murray State, which means the thing that I already wanted to see was what is the Gopher defensive line like, specifically the defensive tackles look like.
Yeah.
Because luckily for you, luckily for me, and luckily for the viewers and listeners, this will be the last time I tell you to really drive home this point. The Gophers graduated 1,400 defensive tackle snaps last year. That is a bleep ton. Like, that is a ton. You graduated everybody. So anybody who's ever played a Big Ten snap in any type of meaningful capacity is gone. So you're going to be breaking in new transfers, such as Naquan Crowder and Zion Chapman. You're going to be breaking in new internal options, such as Riley Sunroom and Theo Randall in a meaningful type of environment. So what I want to see is the Gopher defensive line doesn't allow an FCS team to establish the run on them. Because that's what Eastern Illinois ultimately wants to do here is they've got a couple of good, I think their tailback at least in number four, I think his name is Charles Kellum. I mean, he ran for 171 yards, 3 touchdowns, 9 yards of carry the other night. But I'm not super impressed with the AIU offensive line. I think they're big. I don't think they're very mobile. So if you're able to generate some havoc around them, you should be able to make impact plays in the backfield. But that is the thing, is Eastern Illinois had a lot of success in their first game running the football. One of the biggest questions I have about the entire Gopher defense is, can they stop the run? And now, like I said, when you take on an FCS team who was not ranked in the preseason FCS top 25, is projected to not be a top half of the Ohio Valley conference team, it's not the greatest of tests, especially with an SEC team coming to town next week, but you'll at least get some sort of test in a meaningful way. That EIU's one strength as an offense is they can run the ball, look like, a little bit. So can you stop them? That's what we hope.
All right, let's catch a quick break. So, Ryan, we're back again, and Burns Insurance is back with us again as well. Really excited to have them as another season. And I got to imagine you and I living in the Roseville area saw a lot of hail. I got to think a lot of people are thinking about insurance and, you know, having to maybe replace a roof or fix a car, make a claim. And they're probably thinking, what could be a good option for me going forward now that I have had this claim?
Well, that's where the hope would be, that you know your insurance agent well, or if you don't, you have an independent insurance agent who has put your needs first. And that is the biggest thing about the Burns Insurance Agency, is they're trying to provide you with the service you deserve, and that means putting your needs first. And that's where, seemingly, I'll get a text, even in the off season where we're not doing these ads, Luke, about once a month from him saying, hey, Gopher fan called, they switched over. And I know the most recent one was a hail damage claim where they weren't happy with what they had before. They thought they paid too much. They switched. $700 for their home. They save $700 a year just switching their home. Now, he also does auto, commercial, ATV, whatever you need. So if you are listening to this and you are located in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Utah, of all places, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm paying too much. I know I am, for my home, my auto, my commercial business, whatever it may be. Check out the lovely and fine folks at Insurance by Burns. Give them a shout today. Email them at bill@insurancebyburns, all one word, .com, or you can check them out online, insurancebyburns.com.
All right. And again, we want to thank everybody that came out to Launchpad Golf for our live event. It was so fun to interact with many of you. If you haven't been to the venue, it is spectacular. It's down in the Prior Lake area. If you know where Mystic Lake is, it's really easy to get to. They have really ample parking. And you know what? They can be a great solution for those people that want to have a fun activity and watch the game. They have a great bar and restaurant there that you can take part in. If you were to go on Thursday, they have a special for $7. All of their signature cocktails will be $7 after 3 p.m. So you can go check that out. They have a great setup there. And if you want to hit some balls as well, you have that opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's the beautiful part about that place, is you don't have to be Tiger Woods or Bryson DeChambeau to be able to enjoy it. You can just go there. They've already got the clubs. I mean, you can go hit some balls. But I also think one of the things I learned from Launchpad when we were there is, I was talking with some Gopher fans afterwards, and they made the comment to me of, this place, this bar, this restaurant is way nicer than some of the other equivalent type of destinations around the Twin Cities, to where they were like, I feel pretty good, like, watching a game here. Seems pretty easy. So whether you're trying to figure out if you want to go do something in the Prior Lake area, go hit some balls, or just go grab a beer, go grab something to eat, go watch a Gopher game, I think Launchpad Golf down there in Prior Lake is a great destination to do so. Luke, how can people go there?
Yeah, they can go to launchpadgolf.com. All of the information is there. They also have specials almost every day. Yeah. So check that special list out if there's something that you're trying to hit up. Yeah, lots of great opportunities. And you, just to be clear, you don't have to hit golf balls if you don't want to. Correct. You can go there and just enjoy the restaurant. So again, launchpadgolf.com. Check it out soon. Hey, Dad, I don't know if you heard the news. We're actually partnered again for another season of Gopher football with Blue Horizon Energy. We're stoked to be able to promote what they have going, the projects they've done with the University of Minnesota, the many projects that we see as we drive, you know, from our house out to the farm again. It's just awesome to see. And I know that you've really, really valued being able to harvest and make money off of collecting the sun's energy.
Yep, I've loved my time with them. They came out and did a, an assessment on the farm, figured out where we could put up the solar panels. And then when I decided to do the project, they did it all. And they were really, really good to work with. They set a date when they were coming. They came, they finished the work. In fact, I have a cousin who's an electrician, and he looked over their work and said, wow, these guys are really good. So I've really enjoyed working with them. And a week or so ago, we were down at Farm Fest, and I ran into Hal from Blue Horizon Energy. And I know he's a great big Gopher fan.
Yeah, it's been a great partnership. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I know that everybody can't hardly miss that energy prices are rising. This is a way to hedge that off and control and decrease some of that cost yourself. You make an investment, and it's going to pay you off in the long run. And like you said, Blue Horizon Energy is great to work with. If you want to get in touch with them, if you're a grower yourself or you're a building owner or operator, reach out to them at bluehorizonenergy.com/gridiron. Fill out the form and they'll get in touch with you very, very shortly. All right, Ryan, I am excited to start the facts and figures for this one. I did do some prep here for these facts and figures, and I have learned a lot about Eastern Illinois, and I hope that you feel so much more educated after this.
Lay it on me, Grant.
All right, Ryan, did you know, who do you think the most famous alumni is of Eastern Illinois?
That would be, I'm so glad you went there because we had to get to Narrative Street of Minnesota's offensive line coach. All right.
Yes.
Before I even get there, are you going to tell me it's Tony Romo?
Oh, no. I was going to say it's Brian Callahan, Minnesota's offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Tony Romo is also there. Did you also know that Eastern Illinois boasts 3 NFL head coaches?
No.
As alumni?
What? Why?
Sean Payton,
okay,
Mike Shanahan, and Brad Childress.
Huh. Brad Childress.
Yeah.
So oh, this Brad Childress. I love that for all of us.
So this university located in Charleston, Illinois, which is about 11,000 students, boasts one of, I can't imagine there are many schools that could boast more than 3.
No, I know. NFL head coaches. That's a quite the, look at you. You did do your research,
thank
which
you.
Is why I'm glad you went to Brian Callahan angle again. He's an EIU alum,
yeah,
but also 3 head coaches is insane.
Yes, and one thing that I found interesting, this actually was originally a state teacher college, and then eventually it was renamed to Eastern Illinois State College in 1947, and then it became a full-fledged university in 1957. I find it interesting they have these, you know, very specific colleges, and then they evolve over time. Obviously, we've talked about that they're the Panthers, and I think that's good. This is a team that has head coach Chris Wilkerson entering his 4th season. They're an FCS program, which we've talked about a little bit, but they're off of back-to-back 3-9 seasons in 24 and 25, respectively. If you look at 2023, they are 8-3. So it's been somewhat of a downward trajectory. And then more so for Minnesota, this is going to be the 143rd season of football at the University of Minnesota. It marks the 14th straight year the program begins the season at home. This will be the 18th. I think it's the 18th time they'll have a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. And this has kind of become more a recent tradition, right? Which is fun. And this also is PJ Fleck entering his 10th season. So Ryan, for you, could you have imagined when he was hired and when he ate difficult conversations for breakfast that you'd be sitting here and he'd still be the head coach of our Golden Gophers?
No. And I've even asked them that on the record and he has told me no. So life changes, you adapt. But it is fascinating. Maybe this is a little bit too blunt and forward, but that's kind of the way I approach conversations with people. Like I have like told people within that staff, like, especially when they like to get a little bit snippy with me, you kind of recant back at them. And maybe it's not wise of me to say, but whatever. You know, I was here before you, I'll be here after you. Like it kind of is what it is. So like, I'm not actively rooting against any of you, but the reality of the situation is, as you mentioned with Fleck now being here 10 years, he's the second longest tenured head coach in the Big Ten behind Kirk Ferentz. So especially if Kirk does elect to retire here in the next year or two, I never thought I would see a world in which PJ Fleck is the longest tenured head coach and it happens at the University of Minnesota, but I would tell you it's a pleasant surprise for me.
All right. Just lastly, the Gophers are 99-37-6 all time in season openers. They're 6-3 under PJ Fleck. And then Minnesota is 103-32-7, in home openers. So they've had a fair number of home openers as well. So
there you go.
Okay. So this is probably the time. Oh, I probably should do some weather, even though you're going to tell me we're way too far out for it to even matter.
When has that ever stopped you at any point on this podcast?
It's a good point. It's a Thursday. Looks like there could be some isolated thunderstorms in the morning. No. I think more importantly, it could be a warm one, Ryan.
Looks
it
humid.
Could be about 88 at kickoff, and it could be a little swelterly. Did I say that correctly?
I ain't want to correct your enunciation. We've done this too long together, where I'm just going to let you sit there.
But dew point in the 60s, Ryan, upper 60s. That's got to be delightful.
That is sweltery. That's swampy. Swampy.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be crampy, is what I think we're going to see that night. So, yeah, the early indications are for this game, for those of you going, it's going to be sweaty. It's going to be probably low to mid 80s with a dew point up there in the 60s, which means you're going to be sweating. But as the night goes on, I think the best part is it doesn't appear that there's going to be, at least in theory, much of a rain chance at this point. It's going to cool down in the 70s throughout the game. It'll be nice. So it's it's warm nowadays into September. We all know that. But at least it's going to be sunny. At least it's going to be warm, because you're going to be begging for these days come UCLA and come Northwestern games in November.
All right, let's get to your keys to the game. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine number one is stay healthy.
Stay healthy is among them, but let's get into the specifics about each of the units from Minnesota, where I alluded to it earlier with the offense, but they got to start fast. Now, I do want to play another game with you, Luke, because that's all I do with you at our age together.
Yes.
Can you tell me how many times in the previous 9 years of PJ Fleck the Gophers have played an FCS opponent?
In the season or in the opener?
Just throughout their season.
I will say 10 seasons. I'll say 5.
This will be their fifth time in 10 years doing so. So that means they've played 4 FCS opponents in the previous 9. You had the South Dakota State Jackrabbits to begin that famed 2019 season. That was a meat grinder of a game. You had Western Illinois in town in 2022, Rhode Island here in 2024, and then last they had Northwestern State, which, by the way, did you see Northwestern State played in week 0 and lost to an NAIA team?
And then did you see that Yahoo had the title the most embarrassing loss for the Big Ten?
What was your favorite "we should stop having Claude become a sports writer" moment? Because we already have enough issues in this industry with trying to pay people, and now they're just trying to have AI do it. Yeah, trust me. You're getting me upset. Yes, I did see that. So, but my point with the whole 5 times in 10 years, I'll be the first to tell you here, not that it matters, but comparisons steal your joy for some in this program. South Carolina has played an FCS school in every full season going back to 2013. A Big Ten school in Minnesota has done it now 5 times in the last 10 years. Just want to put that out there okay? Just want to put that out there.
Heard.
So for the offense, like I said, the biggest thing that you can kind of take away from a game like this is it's probably going to get out of hand. And so how do you kind of quantify what you want to look for? And that's where I said I want to see them start faster. And that's where they need to improve the most is year over year in the first quarter, year over year on their opening script. Because like I've mentioned, in 13 games last season, Minnesota's offense scored a touchdown on their opening drive once.
Yep.
In 13 games. Okay. And that was Northwestern State. And they did not score an offensive point in the first quarter in 10 of those 13 games. And like I've said, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times at a Gopher football practice. Start fast, accelerate in the middle, and finish strong. Harbaugh's unit needs to do that a lot better if Minnesota is going to be a more consistent team. Now, I don't know what their plan is going to be because, like I said, 2 years ago against an FCS team, Max Brosmer dropped back to pass 40 times. Last year, Drake Lindsey dropped back to pass, threw 9 passes. You can't get any different against that. Do they need to pass extensively to win this game? No. Do they need to work on the passing game a little bit because you have an SEC team coming to town that next week? Yes. But get your new offensive line working together. Put some hits on Darius Taylor and then put him on ice, but come out the gate fast. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you need to find out what you have in some of these defensive tackles because you just don't really know a lot about them right now. So you've got to play Riley Sunrum and Theo Randall quite a bit in this game. You've got to play the transfers such as Naquan Crowder and Zion Chapman in this game. You have to find out what you have, and that's the beauty of EIU for this one, is because they were such a good running team a week ago, ran for 267 yards, they're going to want to try to run the football because they also want to shorten the game because they can't compete in this game if they have to score more than, you know, 14, 17 points. So they're going to want to shorten it, which means they want to run the football. Don't let them run the football. And then the other part of this, too, is we want to be big believers in the Daniel DePrado magic, who is now Minnesota's new special teams coordinator. Well, if that's going to be the case, I want to see what they have in a kicking game. Like, I know we all want to see touchdowns. Sure. I also want to see some 40-yard field goals in this one, man, because I don't want the first time Minnesota sends out the field goal unit to be in the third quarter against Mississippi State for the 46-yard field goal attempt. Because as we sit here in time, I know one of the questions I get all the time now is, well, who's eligible? Brady Denneberg, as we still sit here, is not. But the new New Mexico kicker, I think it is Luke Drzewicki is the way you say it. I watched the New Mexico enunciation. I think I have that right. I probably don't. And three of you are going to tell me I'm an idiot, and then that's the way it goes. But I do believe if he's eligible, he's going to be the kicker. I want to find out what you have in the kicking game. But also, what if, Luke? Now, listen to me. Look at me right in the eyes here, Luke. I need you to believe. Because what if this is the game? Game one, TJ Thomas takes the opening kickoff 100 yards for a touchdown. Hear me out. Because EIU last week, hear me out, allowed a 49-yard kick return. Here Incredible. It goes. Who says no? Do something explosive in the kick game. Do something explosive in the return game. Block a punt. This is the game where you should be aggressive with your units because it's not necessarily going to matter as much. So try to do something that you learn from in those units is also my thing. And then finally, you nailed it on the head too. Probably the most important thing from this game is you get out healthy. And my intention is not to sound demeaning to an Ohio Valley team who is a Division I football team who beat a Division I opponent by 14 points last week. Anyone can beat anyone in college football. I get that. It's just that I have flashbacks to last fall when Minnesota took on an FCS team. And while they absolutely mollywopped the Demons of Northwestern State, you'll remember that in the second half of that game, Jalen Logan Redding got cut down on the backside on his knee and tore something in his knee, played through it for the next 10 games. It wasn't even close to 100%. And it just zapped any type of hope that you had because he got banged up in that game. So if Minnesota does what a quality Big Ten team is expected to do, get the starters out after about 40 minutes of play, put them on ice. I'd put Darius Taylor on ice after halftime, to be quite honest. You've got bigger fish to fry in 9 days after that. So execute early so you can find out more about the depth of this team. And then guess what? Do your best to get out of there healthy, man. It's going to be one where if you have watched a week zero game, Luke, you just know how rusty everybody is. Mm-hmm. And it's not a Minnesota exclusive thing. I can about assure you, the quality of football you're going to see from Minnesota compared to what you'll see a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, it's not going to be as crisp and as clean because guess what? They got to shake off the rust like we all do. But the beauty of it is you're at least doing this against Eastern Illinois and not like some of the more recent home openers like Nebraska, North Carolina, et cetera.
Okay. If you remember, we did our preseason preview just a bit ago. You picked this game to be 45-3. I picked it to be 45-10. Currently, what I see on DraftKings is that the spread is 43.5 in favor of Minnesota. And then the over under is 51.5. So does that change your prediction at all, Ryan?
Yes. But I want to have you go first, because so we will pick an ultimately a game score here. We'll see where it tracks against the over under, against the spread. Because I think last year I mopped the floor with you, did I not?
Yeah, I think you really did. I don't think it was particularly fair. At least, let's see if I have.
Well, hey, here's what I tell you. I would say it's fair. We all have the same free will. We both had the same. I don't bet on college sports for obvious reasons, but I'd say it was fair. I didn't force you into anything.
Yeah, you ended up killing me in. We did about the same in straight up. I actually beat you in straight up. But you killed me in the spread, and we did about the same in the over under. So you absolutely killed me in the spread. You were 10-2.
I will never do that again. For those of you listening to this for betting advice, this is not betting advice. Me going 10-2 against the Gopher spread is a blind squirrel finding about 6,000 consecutive nuts.
Yeah.
All right. give me your prediction first for this one.
All right. So if I was 40, if I stick with 45-10, I'm going to say that it's an over. And I'm going to say the Gophers are going to cover the points. Or they're not going to cover the points. They're going to be under on the points. I'll stick with that. I'll stick with 45-10, Ryan. I think that Minnesota will win handily. And I'm hoping that we'll get to see a little bit of the strategy in the new era of 5-for-5 and how the Gophers are going to play that, and if they're going to get a bunch of other younger guys in.
All right, so you're an over and EIU cover. I am somewhere more around 41-3, 41-7, somewhere around there. I think the under is the easiest of decisions for me, because I don't think EIU is going to find a ton of traction. Because you look at some of these kind of, like, EIU would destroy Northwestern State. I think EIU would give 2024 Rhode Island more of a run for their money. But I just have a hard time believing Eastern Illinois is going to put up that many points. But I also think Minnesota's offense is not going to be the sharpest of tools in the shed, where I think it'll be, you'll get Drake Lindsey out, like I said, hopefully third quarter at some point. I mean, I hope it's 35-0 in half, and you don't have to put them out there for the second half. But until I see that, I can't predict that. So I think with the way that these openers go, I think the under, because that's a lot of points, especially for a Minnesota game, especially if you're considering that Minnesota has to score that many points. And I know they put up 66 against Northwestern State last year. Northwestern State is truly, I think, the most dreadful team to ever play at Huntington Bank Stadium. I don't even like hindsight being 2020, it is what it is, but EIU is much better than that. So I'm going to say 41-3 is where I ultimately end up being. So that is that's far in the under, and that is an EIU cover as well.
Well, it should be interesting to follow. Maybe just real quickly, so many of these games in the Big Ten are, you know, greater than 20 point margins. I'm just going to highlight a couple that aren't. So Friday, September 4th, Michigan. Well,
you're bearing the lead here, Luke. You're bearing the lead. We said it in the pre-production meeting. Folks, you get to watch or hopefully experience a Gopher football game in person on Thursday night. And then for the next three nights, you are blessed and highly favored with three consecutive nights of Big Ten football with three games on Friday. I don't even know how many there are. And I think there's like 8 or 9, potentially 10 on Saturday. And then you get some on Sunday night as well, Luke. You get three straight days of Big Ten football after the Gophers. You won't be able to say that much.
All right. I'm only going to highlight games against the bitter rivals and those that are under around 10 points. Okay. And then I'm also going to highlight the Apple Cup. Deal?
Bring me home.
Okay. I am going to highlight that Toledo is going to Michigan State on FS1 at 7 p.m. on Friday, September 4th. Michigan State is only a 10-point favorite in the new era of your favorite coach.
My favorite coach. Do we get to call them the new Minnesota East now, by the way? There are so many options we actually can go to for that now, where you have Wisconsin, who has former Gopher coaches, Jaden Everett, Paul Haynes, Bob Ligashevsky. You've also got Michigan State among them now with Winston Delady-Boudaire, Joe Rossi. I'm going to leave that one up to you, which one we get to call Minnesota East at some point this year. But I'm glad you brought up this game because I don't know what your expectations are for Michigan State. I know that the win total for them is 3.5 or 4.5.
Yeah.
If they're going to hit the over, they need to win this game. But mm-hmm. I just don't know what to expect because week ones or week zeros, the first games mm-hmm. for everyone are so weird. And weird things happen that don't necessarily happen for the rest of the year. So you need to figure out what you have in your team because especially in this transfer portal era, just like with Minnesota, Michigan State's going through the same thing. You think you know what you have, but because you have so many newcomers, you really don't know what you have until the bullets fly. That's where, again, with Minnesota, they've got 31 new high school freshmen and 19 transfers from last year. You got 50 newcomers that you're trying to find out about come Thursday night. And Michigan State will be doing the same thing. But, yeah, between this game and the one that kicks off an hour later between USC and Fresno State, which I didn't get to watch that game because I was at the state fair during that time. But to see USC get off to a big lead and then allow 26 points
against San Jose State. Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of faith in Matt Entz and what Fresno State football does, which, if you're looking for the angle, Luke, former Golden Gopher and Greg Johnson's high school teammate, Martin Owusu, former Gopher.
Oh, yeah.
Is likely going to be starting at defensive tackle versus, I believe, another prior Laker in Jide Abasiri, who is a defensive tackle for the USC Trojans, former Gopher commit. There was some NIL involved back there in the day. I won't get into that one, but Friday night should be a good night for those of you trying to crack one open and enjoy a little college football.
All right, 10 Big Ten games on Saturday. None of them have great point spreads. Coy Parrish will make his debut with Oregon against Boise State on 2:30.
That game is at least interesting because I think Boise State is projected to be one of the best teams in the Mountain West. So that might be, a sneakier one of those because it's like, are you going to actually watch Marshall versus Matt Campbell? Yeah, there aren't a lot of great games, are there?
No. You could argue that South Dakota State at Northwestern at 7 p.m. on
That'll BPN. Be a really good one in my
That opinion. Could be a good one, but the one that's the marquee one would be UCLA at Cal, 9:30. Yep. This is Big Ten after dark, 1.5-point favorite for UCLA. That surprised me a tiny bit.
10 games, 11 a.m. until midnight, you're going to be able to watch Big Ten football. I mean, that is magical. Yeah, you get Bob Chesney versus Sangapolitele, if I can still get my enunciations correct from last year. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of points in that one to end the night. There's going to be some fireworks, which leads us into Sunday night, too. There will be Sunday night football at Lambeau Field, except it won't be the green and gold you're thinking of, Luke.
Yeah. So Washington State is going to play at Washington. This is the Apple Cup. It'll be at 3 p.m. This is traditionally a very heated rivalry. And Washington is a 23.5-point favorite. You know, this will be on NBC, so a good game to track because the Gophers are going to also travel to Washington. Yep. And then, as you said, Ryan, Wisconsin is going to play, not host, but at a neutral site game with number 4 Notre Dame. This is 6:30 game on NBC. And Notre Dame is a 20.5-point favorite with the over-under of 47.5.
Boy, does Wisconsin need to get off to a hot start in that one to just get even the fans behind them. Because if you've watched a Wisconsin football game for the last few years, you know the result has not been what Badger fans wanted, which I know everybody is just rolling over, losing sleep about. But if they get down 14-0 in the first quarter, and with the amount of Irish fans that I'm imagining travel up, or even the Badger fans that go to Lambeau. Can you imagine how the animosity in that stadium is going to turn just instantaneously on Luke Fickell for yet another year?
It's going to be
just huge national spot game. Like an NBC night game on Sunday night is going to have millions upon millions of eyeballs on it. So they need to keep that game close is what they need to do.
It will be interesting to see that stadium very red. I would assume very
red. It's going to be odd. Again, I would imagine they sell that thing out between the two fan bases. Just the novelty of the game, Sunday night, NBC, mm-hmm. like, it's going to be, I mean, I'll certainly have it on, like I said, but you need to see Wisconsin come out swinging. They can't have a Minnesota 2025 offense type of start, because if they do, it's going to get early late.
Right.
Late early? Late early. It's going to get late early. See, even us, week zero, we're knocking off the rust. We're trying our best here, Luke.
Yeah, knocking off the rust. Okay, that'll do it. It was fun to talk about a real football game. It'll be more fun to watch a real football game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to thank our partners again, Launchpad Golf and the Burns Insurance Agency. They're going to be with us all season. Should be an absolute blast to cover these games, talk about it. Derek Burns will not be with us in the non-conference, but he will join us again in the conference season.
Yep.
For those of you watching on YouTube, thanks for joining on. You can also listen to us if you need to while you're mowing. That is how we're, I think, that's how we're consumed the most, is by mowers and shovelers. But you also can watch us as well. Any parting thoughts, Ryan, before we go?
Yeah, we're excited to have Derek join us again come Washington. So like Luke said, you won't hear his dulcet tones and outstanding analysis until the conference season, but we will certainly do our best. I think we're going to record the breakdown episode for the EIU game on Friday. So for those of you heading into the Labor Day weekend with travel plans, and you have lovely significant others like we met at the Launchpad golf event, where they just hear us talking and they go, oh, so you're the guy that plays in the car. And I do my best to say, I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry. Or for those of you, we've heard stories about it, but I saw two firsthand accounts of it at Launchpad Golf, and I don't remember if we talked about it. There is Gopher Gridiron Radio Bingo being played at live events now by multiple groups of people. And I didn't take a picture of it, to which Luke instantaneously hit me for.
But yeah.
I will do my best to change my vernacular from sweet giblets and junipers or 6'4", 245 pounds to some new horrific analogies or descriptions this fall. But I cannot make any promises.
I have to imagine that the dulcet tones hit on the bingo card.
I really today, need to find some new material. But after all these years together, it's, you know, I got to find the spark. I'll do my best, but it is just so funny. So we'll hopefully have a breakdown episode out to you guys in time for you to enjoy your Labor Day plans. And then we get into SEC week, where the Mississippi State Bulldogs come up. So we got some exciting football here coming down the line. But we want to thank you guys for listening as we start this new era of Gopher Gridiron Radio in the Gopher Gazette era. We're like Taylor Swift, some new eras, Luke.
New era. I like that. I like the new eras. Yeah, thank you again, everyone, for listening, and go Gophers.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.